You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title is, You May Suffer, But You Will Not Be Destroyed. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
If you think that you have seen problems in life, then listen to this moving confession of an elderly European woman. This lady's life was filled with a constant disruption and tears as she and her family struggled through this past century. My life started, she said, with the First World War. Then inflation went crazy and ruined the economy. Then I got married, and my husband was immediately unemployed. Then the fascists came to power, and then came World War II. Then, after World War II, my son spent 27 months as a prisoner of war in the Soviet Union. Finally, this 82-year-old woman summed it all up by saying, My years have not been nice, and I don't want to see them again. After suffering devastation, depression, deprivation, and setbacks all her life, this amazing woman can surely identify with a man in the Bible whose name, for centuries, has also become synonymous with suffering. This enduring prophet's name is Job. In his day, the Bible describes Job as the greatest of all the men of the East. In worldly possessions, Job was very rich. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. The Bible further explains that Job held a feast in the house of each one of his seven sons on a regular basis. These sons would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. In brief, one might say that in a human sense, for many years in Job's life, things were going very, very well indeed. But then one day, things began to change. In the Bible, Job chapter 1, we read, Now it happened that on a day when Job's sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, that a messenger came to Job and said, Your oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them. Then the Sabaeans attacked and took them away. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone, the servant said, have escaped to tell you. While this first servant was delivering his tragic report, the Bible explains that another servant came and said, The fire of God fell from the heaven and burned up your sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, even while this second servant was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said to Job, The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, while the third servant still spoke, a fourth messenger arrived with an even worse report. He said to Job, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone, this servant said, have escaped to tell you. Oh, the tragedy, the tears, the loss, and the destruction of property and the loss of life experienced by Job and his family is absolutely unbelievable. No wonder so many people today, when they read this story in the Bible about Job, no wonder they ask the most logical question, Where was God when all these tears and death and destruction took place? Well, God was present, and he knew exactly what was going on. In fact, the Bible tells us that God had arranged ahead of time to permit the devil to try to discourage Job. and through this, the devil mistakenly believed that Job would forever curse and denounce God. You may try to discourage Job by taking away all of his worldly possessions, God told the devil. You can touch his possessions, but don't you ever lay a hand on him, the Lord warned. In Job chapter 1, we read the words that our Lord spoke to the devil. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that Job has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. Now the fact that God permitted the devil to be active in Job's life, this biblical teaching may surprise us. But what may be even more shocking to you is that God still today often permits trials and tears, destruction of property, and even death to come into the lives of those he loves. Oh yes, God does indeed permit these acts of chastening and trial. But the underlying biblical lesson is also quite clear. God permits these difficulties to come into your life and mine for a reason. You see, when all goes well with us, then we often tend to forget about God. We forget to pray, we skip weekly worship, and we don't consider Bible reading all that important either. But then come the days of distress and difficulty. And God, in his love, permits these trials to come into our lives because, in his grace, our merciful God knows that the only way that he can get some people's attention and the only way he can graciously draw many people back to himself is to permit hardship and suffering and tears and even death. Oh, I'm sure you may have heard that slogan. It's a secular expression, but it does contain a powerful spiritual truth. That the only time that we look up to God is when we are flat on our back. Oh yes, my friend, isn't it interesting that so often when you and I become more and more affluent, then we also begin to believe that we are self-sufficient. Then the devil often fools us into believing that we don't need God anymore. But then economic disaster strikes our business, or marital disruption destroys our home, or, like with Job, our complete family and goods may be destroyed, or cancer may even begin to destroy our bodies. Then, yes, then we are faced with reality. And we often then find ourselves saying with the psalmist and crying out, How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? It is then at this point, when you and I have sunk to the very bottom of the pits of life, that the example of Job is so very, very important to remember. And that lesson of divine love and grace is this. God permitted the devil to destroy everything around Job, everything, all of his family and all of his possessions, but the Lord stated one thing clearly to Satan, do not touch Job, I warn you, do not touch him. This historical account of Job has over the centuries been one of the greatest encouragements to those who believe in God. All believers who are firmly connected through faith in Jesus to the gracious Heavenly Father, they need never fear the worst attacks of the evil one. Difficulties may come, but for believers, total destruction will never, never be permitted. This firm faith of Job was echoed centuries later by the Apostle Paul when he wrote, We are afflicted in every way, but we are never crushed. We are perplexed, but we do not despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken, and we may be struck down, but we are never destroyed. Then the Apostle Paul, in his usual uplifting way, reminds us that we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus Christ may also be manifested and powerfully demonstrated in our mortal flesh. Oh yes, the life, the trials, and the faith of Job is so encouraging for us in this 20th century. And all too often, however, we as adults convince ourselves that all the pressures of life are now falling upon us. We are the ones who are suffering so terribly. But the reality of life is this. Hundreds and thousands of children and youth are passing through a living hell every year in our country, yes, even in our own communities. These helpless children are being forced out of their homes every day. with no place to go. These helpless and homeless youth are being forced to shift for themselves, often becoming the targets of con artists and pimps. This crisis of our nation's youth has been caused by a number of factors. However, the International Herald Tribune stated recently that the major factor which has brought so much pressure upon the lives of today's youth is the growing number of single-parent homes. Marital conflict and domestic violence has turned harmonious homes into a living hell. Divorce has become too easy. Marital separations are often little more than simplistic solutions to satisfy selfish egos. And the casualties are almost always the innocent children. We say these difficult things today because we know that children and young people do listen to this program of help and hope. And so then, if you are a child or a teenager today, then we want you to know that the promise of help and hope that God gave Job many centuries ago, God is extending this same assurance of help and hope to you today. Now, if some of you think that we are making too much out of the suffering and the evil of this generation, then listen to this. Last June, Time magazine carried an unusually somber cover. This entire page was a very dark gray, almost black. And then in stark and bold black letters, one word was stamped across the front page. This word was E-V-I-L, evil. Evil? Does it exist? Or do bad things just happen? The authors of this well-researched Time magazine article hit on many good points, but they also stumble badly in discussing Job and God and the devil. They said that God and the devil, very much like gamblers at a racetrack, were placing bets to see how much evil Job could withstand. Oh no, with this analysis we totally and vehemently disagree. God never plays with the future of anyone. If God permits trials or suffering, it is for our benefit. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read that those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. This is also the main point of the life of Job, that God permits suffering to come to those whom he loves. And it is a central thought of our message of hope to you today. In my own words, I could try to repeat this message of the gospel again and again, hoping to make it even more clear. But instead, let me encourage you to listen to the uplifting and the inspired words of the Apostle Peter as he describes the grace of God, the meaning of suffering and trials, and the eternal value and the meaning of it all. St. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now this new life in Christ obtains for us an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will never fade away, reserved in heaven for those of you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Now listen to this as the Apostle Peter continues. "In this heavenly hope you now greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. This has happened so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And even though you have not seen him, you love Jesus. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And you can also be absolutely sure of obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. O Lord, we pray for those who are suffering today. Give unto them the patience of Job, and show your mercy toward them also. And encourage all men and women everywhere, we pray, to understand that the trials of life often come upon us in order to strengthen our faith and also to prepare us for a blessed and endless eternity with you in heaven. O Lord, this is our hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.